Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you so much for this time of fellowship around the Word. And we ask you by your Spirit and through the Word that you would grant and give us utterance as we prayed. And we thank you for opening our hearts and opening our eyes and giving us utterance to minister and giving us ears to hear and a heart to receive that which you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm just going to continue along the lines of what we've been doing. And if you want some sort of scripture jumping off place, I guess Hebrews 11:6 is about as good a place as any. And so Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God, for those that come to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them which diligently seek him. And so we know that without faith, it's impossible to please him. We don't always know what all that means, but we know that that's the truth, right? And then we know that it says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And so there's a contrast between what you see, hear, feel, touch, see, and faith, right? And then we also know that the scripture says that the just shall live by faith. So we live by faith, we walk by faith, and we please God with our faith. So there is some of you say, "Well, why is so much an importance put on faith?" Well, because you can't please God without it. You can't walk with Him without it. You can't live for Him without it. So it's quite necessary. And so so we're just going to continue our thoughts along that line. And so a few months ago, I don't know when it was, a month ago, everything kind of runs together. And so I pray consistently every day, and. And I like, you know, what Brother Hagin always said, he'd always say, you know, I don't necessarily believe in praying through, I believe in staying through. But at the same time, if you need to pray through something and get into victory, then do it. Don't dilly-dally. You know, we should walk with God. But if there's an obstacle between you and an answer, you should pray through that. Amen? But at the same time, it's better just to stay in fellowship with God all the time. And so, but with that being said, you know, I pray regarding the church and pray concerning my personal needs and everything that's going on. I have just time where I'm just praying, fellowshipping with God. And this is just, even if I have a pressing need, it's always, this is how it is. This is how I do it. You could do it however you want to do it. It's just how I do it. If I knew what to do, I wouldn't need to ask him. So many times I don't have the answer. And so I don't even approach it in prayer. I'll just say, Lord, I got all these needs. I got all this stuff. I'm doing the best I can. I'm trusting you for wisdom. But I'm just going to pray and let you prioritize all those answers. You know, instead of, because a need might be real pressing to me and I'm like, I need that. But he might have a different priority set than I do. And so I put everything out there, and I just tell him, I might take 15 minutes. Lord, this is what's happening. This is what's going on. This is, you know, blah, blah, blah. This is what's happening. You know, and I'm just trusting you with that. And that's in that process, I cast my care over on him. You know, in other words, I refuse to worry about it. I'm not concerned about it. I know that you're helping me. I know you're good. I know you're going to bless me. So I'm going to take time here, and this is what I do when I pray. I'm not going to do it, but and Lord, I'm just going to take time here, and I'm just going to fellowship with you in other tongues. You know what I need. You answer me before I even pray it. You know what's going on. I'm doing everything I know to do, but I'm just going to worship you. I pray for the church, or I might even start out, Lord, I'm going to pray for somebody in China, or I'm just going to pray I just start going to somebody else. Just get outside of myself. You know, start praying for the president, or start praying for just whatever. You know, I might start praying for David Kramer, or start praying for the Garvers, or Pastor Mark Brzee, or just get up out of myself. You know, and then in doing that and praying, and I might get stuff, or I might be praying in other tongues, and all of a sudden something will come up in other tongues in English, and that'll give me direction to where to pray. And so, So I'll get things like that all the time. That's just kind of how I do it. Lord, I got to pray about this. And then I spend 2 hours praying about that thing. I just trust him, you know, and he always talks to me and gives me insight. So I was praying. I said all that because I don't know what I was praying about. I was just praying. And so, but then one day I woke up, and when I woke up, I, you know, of course I was sleeping in the morning, and I woke up and I was just kind of fellowshiping with the Lord, praying, but I heard down in my spirit, and it was said like maybe 3, 4, 5 different ways. And it just kept going back and forth, changing how it was being said. Because when your mind's quiet, you can hear what's going on in your spirit. And so my mind was quiet, so I heard this conversation going on in my spirit. Faith fed is faith led. Faith led is faith fed. Spirit led is spirit fed. Spirit led is faith fed. Faith fed and spirit led are faith fed and spirit fed. Just that like there. And then also too, flesh fed is flesh led. Feeding your flesh produces leadings in your flesh. Or you could take away the word leading and put the word desire. Now, this wasn't in what I heard in here, but a lot of times that word leading, it can throw you. You could say it like this, the desires. You know, because desires help you make decisions. You know, if you want to buy a pair of pants, your desire to buy more pants causes you to go to Macy's or go online and make that decision and purchase them, right? Desire has a lot to do with the decisions that we make. And so you could say it like this. Flesh-led is flesh-fed, or you could say fleshly desires are caused by fleshly desires being fed. And so, and you might say, well, what's a fleshly desire? All it says in the flesh. Anybody ever been around somebody that just talks bad about somebody all the time? That just has an angry word to say about everybody all the time? You know, and everybody, how many of you know, I don't think there's a person on the planet that thinks it's proper and okay just to tear somebody else down. So that doesn't mean everybody's doing that. Or not, you know, everybody knows that's not the most appropriate thing to do, but yet people do it all the time. Because there's something, how many ever, we've all heard of like meth and crack cocaine, right? And all those things. Those things aren't good for you. Then why do people do them? Because they're addictive. And talking bad about people and doing all that, there's an addiction that it becomes. Just like crack or anything physical, there's a mental, emotional addiction that, because you start feeding that desire, that expression of contention. And the more you feed that, the bigger that'll get, and it starts affecting your desire. Okay? And because, you know, you get around people and they're talking bad about people or something's going on, and then there's the feeling of like, what do I have? What do I have good to talk? How can I slander somebody? But you don't think that, but the thought comes up or the feeling comes up. Oh, I heard this about them. Or I heard this about them. Or what about this? Or what about that? Or if you're in a disagreement with your spouse, praise the Lord. And so then you start thinking about, oh, they did this. Your flesh starts leading you through that desire, negative desire, contention, arguing. Amen. And so, but that's why what got me on this series was feeding your faith. You know, having a lifestyle where you feed your faith, where you feed your faith the scriptures, but at the same time, being aware that if you're feeding your flesh all the time, then your flesh is going to have a greater voice and a louder voice, and it's going to culminate into the desires of the flesh in your life. I tell the story, and I don't know about you, I can talk about me, but I was, anybody ever heard of Jerry Springer? Back in the 90s, you know, I know it was a long time ago for some of you, but in the 90s, he was real popular and everything, and it was hilarious. It was hilarious. It was so ridiculous. It was hilarious. So, like, I had my routine, you know, the news would come on, and then I can't remember what would come on, like Cheers or something would come on. I might watch that, and then Jerry Springer came on. And I'm like, I can't watch that because I got to go to bed. But it was so ridiculous. It was addicting. And I started watching it, you know, because it was so funny. And you could tell it was so staged to a point, you know. But the thing of it is the reason I'm bringing that up is because I'm more of, hey, let's find a solution and let's be peaceful about this. Let's not debate for debate's sake. You know, let's not just argue to argue or fight to be fighting. You know, and some people are like that. They just want to fight to fight. You know, they take something simple and turn it into a huge rah, you know. And so, and I'm just not like that. I mean, I get down to brass tacks sometimes for sure. But you, I mean, you can disagree and everything and just not be like rah, you know. And so, so I started watching that and they're fighting so much. And I got to where I kept watching it. And I remember I was on the phone with an operator. I don't know if it was AT&T or something like that. And I was just arguing with them for no reason. Just arguing with them. And I started laughing in the midst of the argument because I thought, I'm so stupid. Because I heard myself what I was doing. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? I'm so stupid. I'm like, if I just listen to what they're saying, instead of trying to hold my guns about it, because they already answered my question, but I'm just being argumentative now for 5 minutes. I'm just arguing because it's stupid. Their policy being stupid is irrelevant. That's the policy. You accept it and you work around it. You learn how to blend, you know, you stay in peace. And so, but no, I wanted to argue. And I started laughing and stuff. And I was kind of, it started bothering me. You know, I did it like 2 or 3 times. I can't remember about why, but something. And I started just kind of checking my heart about it. I'm like, I've never done that before. Like, what's up with that? And I went to go watch Jerry Springer. And as soon as I started watching, just on the inside, it was like, that's your problem. It wasn't that it was wrong to watch Jerry Springer, but I was feeding my flesh to a point that my flesh was being satisfied watching that. But then when I'm out in life, it wasn't enough just to watch it. Now I wanted to start replicating it. Now that same spirit, so to speak, but it's just your flesh, wanted expression out here in life. It wanted that same combat, that same expression, that same, you know, strife. Does that make sense? So I just laughed it off and I'm like, okay, cool. And then I just quit watching it and then just checked myself. And then before long, just those feelings to do that just completely diminished. Now, it might not be Jerry Springer with you. It might not be that in your situation, but it might be a relative. It might be a close friend. It might be somebody that they just stir you up in a certain area. Well, you know, it doesn't mean you can't be friends with them, but when that kind of discussion starts happening, remove yourself, you know, or change the conversation. You know, and say, well, you know, that's great with you, whatever, but that's not something I want to partake of right now. Or just dismiss you. You know, I found a lot of times wisdom so many times doesn't even give an answer of why it's doing what it's doing. It just does what it wants to do. Somebody starts being weird about something or talking weird about something. Okay, I'll see you guys later. I gotta go. What do you mean you gotta go? No, I gotta go. I have an appointment. What's an appointment? It's an appointment with peace. You know, you don't have to preach to everybody, you know, but I'm going to have myself set apart. If you don't learn to have boundaries in these things, because this is really what sanctification is. It's setting yourself apart for God, you know, and you're going to be in the world and things are going to happen and things might happen right by you where you don't really have a choice in some of those things, but you can choose not to partake of it. You know, you can choose not to respond. I was born again a year or two, and so let me say that I got to get this story about this guy named James, but don't let me forget that. But the thought is you can choose to feed your spirit or feed your faith, and feeding your faith and feeding your spirit are kind of the same thing, or you can feed your flesh. And so, when I say feed your flesh, I'm not talking about eating cheeseburgers. I'm talking about feeding that desire. You know, and if you want to know what the flesh is, go look in Galatians chapter 5. Adultery, fornication, immorality, any kind of immoral behavior, lasciviousness, adultery, envy, strife, division, emulations, witchcraft. Witchcraft, you know what witchcraft is in there? It really means abuse of pharmaceuticals. Because witchcraft in that particular thing is the word pharmacia. And so what they would do back then is they would take certain drugs, so to speak, or potions or different things to alter your state of mind to yield to something not good. And so, but people say, well, I'm just, I have an addictive personality and that's just who I am. And that's great. Fine. Praise the Lord. You know, but you're also someone else. That might be in your flesh who you are. And if you feed that, that's going to be have a greater voice in your life. But you've got to learn to, okay, if I'm having this problem, it's because I'm feeding this. I haven't forgotten my story about James, but I just wanted to reiterate. Learn to feed your faith and learn to feed your spirit and learn to not feed your flesh. Or you could say this, instead of feeding your flesh, feeding your feelings, feeding your emotions, feeding your opinions. Yeah, but this is true. It didn't say in Philippians chapter 4, whatsoever things are true, think on these things. It did say that, but that's not all it said. It says, whatever things are of good report, whatever things are honest, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are true, whatever things are wholesome. One translation says, things that are worthy to be discussed. Think on these things. Set your mind on these things. So that's a choice that we have to make. So you can feed your faith or feed, how do you feed your faith? The scriptures. The scriptures is faith food. And so that's why we read our Bible. But not only just reading your Bible, but learn to find out when unction is appearing and unction is manifesting or something is inspired. Anybody ever heard a scripture jump out to you? And a scripture jumps out to you, learn to give that attention. Don't ignore that. Give it attention. How do you feed when unction jumps out to you? What did unction jump out to you about? That scripture. But I don't know what that scripture means. It didn't say feed your understanding. It didn't say feed your understanding of what that scripture means. It just said feed your spirit that scripture. He likes it. Your spirit likes that scripture. So you don't even have to know what it means. You don't have to understand it. You can just start rehearsing that scripture. Meditating on it. How do you meditate on it? Just talk it. Write it down. Make, you know, first find out where it is, know the reference of it, and start meditating on it, thinking about it, and just talking that scripture. And you might not even know what it means mentally. You might not even get it. But you, in your spirit, it's like, man, there's something good in that scripture. There's something, man. It's kind of like when you go somewhere and you eat something, and you're like, I don't know what that flavor is, but there's something really good in there. I like that. Well, you don't have to know what's in it to like it. You just know I like it. And so creating a lifestyle where you're feeding your faith and feeding your spirit. Amen? And so, and really, even last week was kind of a demonstration of that. Because now I'm speaking more from a place of just the scriptures. But like last week, some of those phrases and some of the things we were shared on were just highlighted in my heart, in my spirit. Those things were emphasized in my spirit. So I just followed those things that were emphasized in my spirit because he was liking them. He was liking those phrases and those thoughts, and he was emphasizing them. Well, you know, if you don't have it always jumping out to you, you know this is true. So learn, and it's going to go back and forth between feeding your faith and feeding an unction word. Feeding your faith and feeding an inspired word. And you're going to constantly go back and forth of doing that. It's kind of like eating and drinking, eating and drinking, eating and drinking. You can't live without either one. So the spirit is like feeding your spirit is like drinking, and feeding your faith is like eating. And you do both. You know, it's not an either or, it's both. But at the same time, you restrict the appetites of the flesh. And so James, he was a Christian, not very old of a Christian, but walking all the light he had, not saved very long. I'm a teenager. And so I was a Christian and I was born again. And I can't remember if I was spirit-filled at the time. Might have been spirit-filled. And so, and I had prayed with him, and he had gotten born again. I don't remember if he was born again at this time or not. He might have been born again. Anyway, either I guess that's irrelevant. But I was born again. And so we lived at a lake, and we're at the lake, and we're all being crazy as teenagers would. And so they're talking to this kid. And James had done some things that were wrong. And so, and then everybody else was making fun of him for doing those things that were wrong. And they had kind of coaxed him into talking about it, saying, oh, we had done these things wrong too. And then it made him feel comfortable to start disclosing what he had done. And so then when he started disclosing, they started making fun of him. Oh, we didn't do that. We just did that to drag you out, you know. And they're ridiculing him, making fun of him, and he's getting all embarrassed and getting upset and everything. And I'm there, and I just didn't say a word. I just didn't say a word. And I wasn't trying to be spiritual. I didn't know what they were talking about. I didn't participate in any of it, so it wasn't my deal. But it just didn't seem good to me. And about halfway, three-fourths through the conversation, I just walked off and started doing something else. And actually, I don't think he was saved at that time. But he came to me later, and he goes, you know, I don't know what you're doing or what's going on with you, but the fact that you didn't participate with them highlighted you to me. It did something to me that's different than what everybody, it actually caused him to listen to my voice. And so I was able to, I can't remember, it might have even been that night, because it all runs together, that I prayed with him and he got saved. And then later, he's the guy that I prayed with. We were in a football game. We lost the football game terribly. And we're on the way back from the football game, and I prayed with him on the school bus to get filled with the Spirit. So we're sitting on the school bus holding hands, guys holding hands on a football bus, and I pray for him, and he starts speaking in tongues right there. And but the thing of it is, part of the impact that caused him to even go on and receive more was the fact that I didn't partake. And so, you know, when you don't participate in feeding the flesh, people know it. You know, so I'd encourage you, feed your faith, and don't just feed your flesh and feed how you feel about everything. And that'll get you all messed up. And so the anointing, the Spirit of God leads us. And so the Spirit of God leads us on the inside. Well, let's go to 1 John chapter. And I'm not going to go a long time. We'll go about a few more minutes and then we'll hush. But, and I know this is repetitious, but hey, this is where we live. You know, and if you make it a priority to feed your spirit, to feed your inner man, that's how I got born again. You know, I didn't know everything that I know now. Not that I know anything right now. Sometimes I feel I'm about the dumbest one on the planet. But, you know, when my mom talked to me about being born again, she goes, you know, if you want to go to heaven, you got to make Jesus the Lord of your life. And I'm like, well, where's the line? I was responding to an inward conviction that I heard those words and it convicted my heart, and I responded to that. I didn't respond to, well, what's grandma say, or what's this person say, or what's that person say, or what's the debate or discussion. I had that inward something that I just knew that was right. So I responded to that. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 20, it says, but you have an unction of the Holy One, and you know all things. So you have an unction by the Spirit of God of the Holy Ghost, or you could say it like this. You have an anointing. You have an unction. You have an anointing of the Holy One that causes you to know. You might say, what's that mean? That the anointing that's in your spirit, the anointing that's in your spirit will affect your mind, will, and emotions. So, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. So knowing things is different than the anointing that you have. But the anointing, the quickening, the Holy Ghost on the inside will affect what you know. So you could say it like this. Remember Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 17 and 18, Dana's prayer? This I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he would grant and give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. Well, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened is causing you to know. And so it's amazing in that prayer, he said that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you would know. What's he talking about knowing? Knowing what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Knowing what is the inheritance of ours in Christ? He talks about three different things that we would know, because you get them in here, but he's like, it's not enough for them. They're born again. They're saved. But it's not enough for them to have it in here. They need to get a revelation in their mind, will, and emotions of what they got in here. Because when you start valuing what you got in here, then you'll start leaning on that and you'll start trusting that. And so, but you have an anointing of the Holy One, and you know all things. So learn to have a lifestyle of feeding your spirit. Learn to have a lifestyle of feeding your faith. Learn to have a lifestyle of restricting the appetites of the flesh, not giving place to everything that you feel, that you see, and that what you intellectually might be appealing to you. How many of you know when people first get saved, they look at the Bible with the eyes of their understanding? They look at the Bible from the appetites of what they want to know from the Scripture. Where dinosaurs come from? Who's the Antichrist? But the Bible isn't a mental book. It's a spiritual book. And it's not mentally comprehended. It's spiritually comprehended. So it's outside of your reasoning faculties, and it's outside of your conscious mind that you understand the Scriptures. You understand the Scriptures first in your spirit, and then secondly in your mind, will, and in your emotions. And so as you give place to the Scriptures in your life, it will affect you in your understanding and in your physical body. Amen. And when you start getting that, you start even realizing that's how healing comes. God's means of physical healing isn't physical. It is spiritual. It doesn't mean out here, ooh, somewhere. It comes out of your spirit. So the power that heals your knee comes out of your spirit and starts permeating that part of your body, and it starts affecting the strength and the sinew and the tendons in your knee. It starts affecting it. It starts changing. Something's wrong with your hip, your bones and your hip. The anointing that's in your spirit is released and goes into your bones and starts affecting a healing and a cure in your bones. If you need healing in your neck or your nerves, you know, healing. See, that's why you don't have to ask your symptoms, am I well? Because it doesn't have to do with your symptoms. Because you're asking your spirit, your witness. I have a witness. The Scriptures say that himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. According to that, I am well. And agreeing with the Scriptures and saying with your mouth what you agree with the Scriptures opens the door for the power that's in your spirit and enables it to start flowing out of your spirit into your body. It's kind of like when you take an Advil, the entrance for the Advil is your mouth. You take that medicine, and then you put it in your mouth, you swallow it, it gets in your stomach, and then your stomach assimilates those ingredients, and then it gets in your bloodstream, and your bloodstream sends it to that part of your body where your toe's hurting or whatever it is, right? And then it makes the pain diminish or go away. Well, it's the same way you have a Holy Ghost narcotic on the inside. You have a time-release medicine on the inside. And the Scripture says God's word is medicine. It's not just like medicine. It is medicine. But you've got to release that capsule. You've got to, well, what good's it going to? Well, you know, it's just like this. I don't believe in healing because that person didn't get healed. But, you know, here's healing for them right here. But, well, it's, you know, they didn't partake of it. If I'm going to take this, is this water if I take it? I have to drink it to get it in me. And so with the Scriptures, I start working those Scriptures. And it's not just a mental working. It's working the Scriptures until it's real in your spirit. And that takes time. That takes time. It doesn't take time for God to get it to you. It takes time for you to grab a hold of it. Because God can do something in an instant. He's not restricted by time. You're restricted by time. And so, but your restrictions of time and your mentality can be alleviated when you get a hold of the Scriptures and you start working those Scriptures. And see, every time you have a pain, you can tell, I got pain like crazy, doctor. Doctor, the pain's going crazy. He's like, how you feeling? I feel terrible. That has nothing to do with your faith. Yeah, but that's going to negate my faith and my words have power. He's not asking me what I believe. He's asking me what I feel. Now, if I'm at home just complaining all the time, I feel terrible. I don't feel good. I don't feel good. I don't know what's going on. And I walk the floor for 2 hours talking how I feel. That's not good. Because then you're creating an atmosphere for feelings to dominate you. But you can tell the Lord, Lord, I feel terrible. I haven't felt any good. I don't know what's going on here. And I just tell him. I just tell him how I feel. I just tell him. I'm like, I don't know what, because see, the devil get in there and get all kinds of things in there to get you to quit. You go, Lord, here's the thing. Well, you deserve this. You stinky old thing, you disobeyed God. You didn't. He always has something stupid like this. Oh, you were supposed to tithe on that $20 and you didn't. You forgot to. Now you got this because of that. Remember that? Things like that. Anybody ever heard that? You know, oh, you know, you were supposed to witness to that cashier at the Cheesecake Factory and you didn't. And now your disobedience has got you on the devil's territory. And that's why you got the flu. Well, you know, there's nothing you can do. You're done. And so the devil, so I just tell the Lord, I'm like, Lord, this is how I feel. I feel terrible. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if I did or didn't do something to cause this or if I've been disobedient, but I know this. Jesus died so that I might be made well. Jesus, and see, and I start getting in on that. Jesus died. He shed his blood that my sins can be remitted, that my wrongs can be remitted. That means the wrong that I might have, even if I did open a door, Jesus paid for that door to be closed. And so, yeah, but you open the door. And I don't care if I open, a whole council city block of doors. But if you get in God's face and you're honest with him and you start saying, Lord, I don't know what's going on here. I don't know what's happening. This is how I feel. This is what's going on. But Lord, I trust you. And see, sometimes it's just good to just start thanking him that he's provided before you even get into a place to believe you receive it. Sometimes I'll just take 15 minutes. Lord, I'm so thankful that you're good to provide healing for me. And I'll just start, Lord, I remember that time when my wrist was hurting and you quickened me and my wrist is better now. Lord, I'm so thankful. And you start rehearsing times where you did receive and God was good. Or Lord, I remember that time Dana was dealing with this situation and this different things. And then you brought us an answer. You quickened her. You strengthened her. I'm so thankful. I'm so good. I'm so glad, Lord, that there's no shadow of turning with you, that you don't change, that the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, the sun comes up, the sun goes down. There is no changing with you. And you're still good to heal. You're still good to provide. And then when Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood, that, you know, by his stripes, you made provision for healing. Surely you bore my sicknesses and carried my pain. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that I have a loophole from what the world has. The world has to go to medical science. That's their only means to physical healing is prevention and going to surgery or whatever they got. And Lord, I'm thankful for that. But I'm so grateful that there is another way for me. And I'm so grateful. And I appreciate the Holy Ghost, the anointing that quickens my body. And you, I just talk to him about everything. Because in the midst of me talking to him like that, if there is something going on, he'll just quicken to me. And if there isn't, he'll just undergird me even more. But see, what am I doing? I'm feeding my faith. In the midst of feeding my faith, I'm listening. Got my ear. Brother Hagin would always say, Brother Hagin said the exact same thing. He'd always say it like this. He goes, I'm going to go to prayer, but he goes, I'm just putting up my spiritual antenna. Remember those cars, you know, old Lincolns and stuff? You get in the car and you turn the radio on and nothing. You know, but then some of them had a separate button. You hit a button and all of a sudden, the antenna comes up. Then when the antenna comes up, it starts receiving signal. And so what he's saying, he goes, there's something wrong here. I'm not getting a signal, so I'm going to put up my spiritual antenna. In other words, he's going to start looking to his heart. He's going to start checking his heart. Is there anything going on? Am I getting anything from the Father? Is he talking to me about anything? Did I do something wrong? Did I miss it? What's going on here? What's happening? There's many times he's praying. I know there's times where he's been praying. I know he went to go pray for this one guy that was sick. And he goes, Lord, what's going on with this guy? I can't say the word healing. He'd go, I pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you. He would go to say healing. He couldn't say healing. He would say bless and keep you. And so he puts up a spiritual antenna, starts checking. He said, Lord, I know it's your will. He started rehearsing the scriptures. It's not your will for this man to die. It's your will that he be whole, he be made whole. It's your will that he receive his healing. And he said, the Lord told him, no, he's going to die. Da, 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 da. This is the situation. This is what's going to happen. And this is, you know, and you can't change it. Sometimes you can change it, but sometimes you can't. But I don't know how many times he went to go do something and putting up his spiritual antenna, he got direction from God of what was happening there. Amen. And so you put up your spiritual antenna, it'll give you clarity on things. So you just pray, and I just tell the Lord everything that's going on. And so many times he's just like, oh, you're all good. You're all good. And I know there was a time now with me sometimes, you got to work the way that you work. But this is how I have found myself has happened to me. And I can't tell you how many times this happened, because it's happened more times than I can even count. It happens all the time. And so I'm just like, okay, whatever. And I know one time I was working at my job, and I was working 5 days a week. And so sometimes they'd let you work 6 days. And so I was going to go down to 4 days. I'm like, hey, I'm going to go down to 4 days, maybe even 3 days, and just be able to devote myself more to the ministry and so on. And so I've been contemplating that, and Dana and I talked about it. And so it was right after Christmas. It was like the beginning of January. And so I go to my boss to talk to them. I said, hey, I'm gonna talk to you for a second. And she goes, yeah, what's going on? And so I go and I say, hey, you know how I was wanting, you know, that extra day off, you know, and go like to 4 days? She goes, yeah. And I go, well, instead of doing 4 days, can I do 6 days? I just said it. And I'm like, what in the world am I saying? What's going on with me? She goes, what do you mean? And I'm like, can I work 6 days? Is that all right to work 6 days? And she goes, yeah, if you want. So I'm like, okay, I'll do it. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? I'm trying to get out of this, not commit to more. Well, that was January of 2020. And so what happened is I started working 6 days. So that's an extra day that you're working, and that extra day is all overtime. So that's time and a half. So I'm working 10 hours a day every day, and then 10 hours a day on Saturday. And so that's like a minimum of 60 hours. Sometimes I would have 67 hours. And all of that's, you know, that's 27 hours of overtime. Well, when you're making $25 an hour and you're getting time and a half, that's not too shabby. It's not too bad. You know, so I just did that. I just kept doing that. I'm like, well, Lord, I guess for some reason you want me to do that. So I didn't know about COVID. Well, then COVID happened, and they started laying people off, and my company got real short. They minimized our hours to where I was only, at one point, I worked through the whole thing. And but there was a point there where I was only working 38 hours for like a month. I was working 38 hours, and then they kind of let me go back to 6 days, and then it would kind of go back and forth like that. But, you know, during those 3 months of accruing stuff, I was able to have some extra funds, because you know what happened when COVID happened, and then we quit having church, and our income from the church, you know, it shouldn't be this way, but it does sometimes. Sometimes it goes down. And so it went down. Well, I had all this extra money that I had accumulated, you know, I mean, sometimes it was like $800 a week extra. So I'd accrued this money. So then when the church had hit some spots where we couldn't pay the rent or couldn't do something, I didn't even have an issue. I just paid it. Because now, I mean, I kept doing that to where I got up to where I had 6 months of income for the church and for me ahead in case something happened. But the thing I was even bringing that up is because I prioritize unction. I made it a priority to listen to my spirit. And when I said that, I knew that wasn't just me saying it. I knew that came out of my spirit, so I regarded it. I could have real easily said, that's stupid, I'm not doing that. I could have changed it. I could have said, no, I don't want to do that, I want to do this. She goes, well, I could have just lied and said, oh, I'm just joking, whatever, don't worry about it. I'm going to go to 4 days. I could have done that easily. Done that easily, 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 easily. But I know with me, a lot of times, I just say stuff. And just in saying stuff, it's the right thing. I know, remember Ricardo? You know, I was talking to him and stuff. There was a couple times we went to Home Depot. And so we're at work, and a couple of guys there. And they're like, how much is it going to be? And they'd be like, $47. And Ricardo's like, $25. And just out of my heart, I'm like, $57.38. They go to the cashier. They do everything. I even like throw a soda in there, whatever, $57.38. And they look at me like, so what the heck is wrong with you? I did that like several times. You know, we'd go out to do a job And I would be, okay, we're going to go do this. And Ricardo's like, hey, you're going to meet me then. I'm like, oh, you don't even need to meet me there because it's going to be the wrong part and the lady's not even going to show up. I'm like, what? So he gets there, the car's there, it's the wrong part, and the lady didn't show up. So whenever I talk to him, he's always like, Lonnie, you should be careful about him because whatever he says comes to pass. But it's not so much that I'm saying something causing it to come to pass. It's just I would say the Lord was using that to have him have regard for what I said. And so then he had to ask scripture, ask questions about scriptures and stuff and things like that. And then in doing that, it opened a door for him to receive salvation. But if I disregarded unction and didn't yield to it, didn't cooperate with it, then all of that would be a moot point, so to speak. And so anyway, is this okay, everybody? And so remember to be faith-led and faith-fed and spirit-led and spirit-fed. Let's go. I don't want to – I have to do this one last thing. I was doing all that to get to this one thing here. You can go to Acts chapter 2. And we're gonna look at this real quickly here, then we're gonna let you go. And so I thought those stories were good just to illustrate the point. And so, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and you don't have to go there, but I'll just quote it just for the sake of time. Remember 1 Corinthians 14, he goes, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. When you pray in other tongues, you know, when you pray in other tongues, that's your spirit praying. It's not your mind, will, and emotions, it's your spirit praying. So when you pray in the spirit, your spirit, with the help of the Holy Spirit, is giving utterance to God's plan and God's purpose and God's will for your life. And so then we see from Acts chapter 2, and it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, it says, they're all gathered together there. Peter, James, John, Mary, the 120, they're all there. It says, the Spirit of God fell upon them. Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, and he goes, and the Spirit of God fell upon all them, and it says, they all began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Remember that? And so they were all speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, speaking in other tongues is an entry point to these other things. And so if you're a Christian, give place to speaking in other tongues. Because Peter said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Your sons and daughters will prophesy or speak with inspired utterance. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will have visions, or vice versa, which everyone's always getting confused. But he's not talking about having a vision of ice cream. He's talking about supernatural visions. He's not talking about having a dream of, you know, a giant clown eating your feet or something ridiculous. You know, he's talking about dreams that are from God. And so, see, we as Christians, a lot of times, we miss the supernatural by giving attention, too much attention and too much priority to the spectacular. But the most spectacular and the most supernatural thing that you'll be able to do is give attention to your spirit. Give attention to your faith and learn to feed your faith and feed your spirit and give place to those inclinations on the inside. Give place to the spirit that bears witness with your spirit on the inside, because it might seem like a small thing. It might seem like an insignificant thing. Elijah, or one of the Elijahs, was in a mountain and he was up in a cave, and it says there was an earthquake and the mountain shook, and the Spirit of God said, no, but God wasn't in the earthquake. Something great, big and loud, but God wasn't in it. And then he said, over there came a great wind, and the wind shook the place and it howled, but God wasn't in the wind. And then there came a rain, and there's all kinds of rain and flooding, different things happened, but God wasn't in the rain. And he said, but there was a still small voice, and that was the voice of God. The still small voice on the inside. Thank God for rain. Thank God for earthquakes. Thank God for great things that happen out here. But God's not always in those things out here. You've got to discern out here within here. If you just walk by what's out here, you're going to be deceived. Even people don't want to talk about it. They just want to go throw it in a bucket and go down by the wayside and just throw everything away. But there's false lying signs and wonders. You know, Moses threw down his rod. They threw down their rod. Their rod turned into snakes. It's not a fairy story. It's not something vague, but their rods turned turned into snakes. And Moses' rod was a snake. Their rods were snakes, but Moses ate their snakes up. Amen. And so they were able to match Moses miracle for miracle up to a point by evil power, by demonic power. But the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, mind, and dominion, and every name, dominion, and wicked spirits in the heavenly. So we don't wrestle with flesh and blood and with our flesh so much. There isn't an enemy arrayed against us. Well, how do we wrestle the enemy, so to speak? Thank you. Thank you for asking. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 12, it says, so then faith, or 1 Timothy chapter says, we fight the good fight of faith. We don't fight our brother. We don't just fight the devil. What tool do you use to fight the devil? You keep in faith. You stay in faith. It's refusing to get into the arena of feelings. The devil lives supreme in the area of your feelings and reason and emotion. That's where he lives, and he wants to contend with you to get you to doubt God's word because you feel something, because you might reason something, because you might have an emotion there. But we fight him by staying in our spirit of what we believe. I believe that God's with me. I believe that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I believe that I have a guide on the inside when I don't know what to do, and I don't know where to go, and I don't know what decision to make, and I don't have the information I need to have. I've got a witness on the inside. I've got an anointing on the inside. I've got a quickener on the inside. I've got a strengthener on the inside, and he will strengthen me. He will guide me. He will lead me. But I've got a helper on the inside. I've got a strengthener on the inside. I've got a counselor on the inside. But if I neglect all that and just say, well, I don't feel this, or grandma said this, or Sister Susie said this, and you get into the a realm of reason and the realm of intellect, then the devil will whip you every single time. But you've got to know that the tool the devil uses against you, the devil doesn't come in a big red suit like the devil hand can and with big ears and a forked tail and come out and say, I'm the devil. You know what he uses? Your own desires. He uses your feelings as his voice to seduce you and to draw you away and to kill you. But if you just look at, well, this is my feelings, this is me, I like it. Did you know Eve liked the apple or the banana or the orange or whatever it was? What if it was a coconut? You know, I don't know. And so, but the thought of it is she said, the scripture said it was desirable for food. So when he lures you away, it's not something that's foreign or ugly to you. There's something appealing about it. So he uses that to bait you and to draw you away. So he doesn't come so obvious. He comes and appears as an angel of light, as something good, as something normal, as something wholesome. How many of you know, like we're talking about strife before? Here's the deception of strife. So do you think I should just accept everything everybody says, even though I know that's not right? No. But you don't have to have a spirit of strife about you either. Brother Moore said this one time, this is such an amazing story. He goes, this guy's explaining his theories and things to me. And the guy goes, you agree, right? And he goes, no. He goes, yeah, but do you understand what I'm saying? He goes, yeah, I understand. He goes, you understand all the scriptures, everything? I'm like, yeah, I understand all the scripture, where you're coming from. He goes, oh, great. I didn't know if you agreed with me or not. So you agree, right? And he goes, no. Just standing your ground. You don't have to be hateful. You don't have to be mean. And then if you're trying to prove something to somebody else or disclose something to somebody else and they disagree, you don't have to get upset and try to force them and get angry. Just they disagree. But see, that's being able to discuss without having strife. But if you start discussing something and people start getting upset and getting mad, because here's the thing, it'll pull you in there too. And it's real challenging when people start getting in the flesh just to stay steady. I've missed it. You've missed it. We've all missed it. But that's the difference. You can still adhere to what's in your heart. But it's just, in other words, see, do you see there's an element of truth to discussing something that's black and white or what's going on? A difference, a strife, a contention. But there's another thing getting into strife about that disagreement. That's the difference. You should be able to walk away and smile and eat your ice cream and not think about it. But if you're walking away from the situation and you're angry, and the more you think about it, the more angry you get, something's up. Amen. And so with all that being said, Don't forsake the supernatural because you're looking for something spectacular. Know that that witness and feeding your spirit and feeding your faith is probably going to be the most supernatural thing that you'll ever do. It's such a supernatural thing. It's not just information like George Washington. It's feeding your spirit. And your spirit gets addicted to things. I mean, I start reading my Bible, and it doesn't do anything for me. I'm reading through this chapter, I'm like... So I go to a different book. Does that mean that scripture's bad? No. It's my heart's craving something, but I've got to find it. It's kind of like Baskin Robbins. You go there, and they're like, hey, give me that world-class chocolate. They'll give you a sample. You taste it. Nah. Pralines and cream. Nah. You know, give me the chocolate mint pistachio. Oh, that's amazing. You know, all the other ones are good, and I've got them all before. But this is the one I want right now. But when you make your spirit a priority, you start going through. And then after a while, you start doing it. You start developing your taste. I don't even have to have chocolate here to know if I want chocolate. I've had chocolate so many times, I know exactly what it tastes like. Then you start getting the nuances of like, oh, there's this kind of chocolate and this kind of chocolate and this other kind of chocolate and this kind of chocolate and this and this and this and this. You start all these delicacies and intricacies or whatever of chocolate. You know, oh, I want this chocolate from this place and you know, this way. Well, that's how the will of God is. You start feeding your spirit and you're like, man, I really want to read my Bible. And you're just like, what am I going to read? Man, I don't know, just something about James, the way it punches you. I'm just going to go read that. And you start reading and it's just like, rawr, it just starts strengthening you and feeding you. You're just like, oh, it's just awesome. And then other times you try to go read James or 1st, 2nd Peter, they're all kind of punchy. And it's just like, yeah. You know, and I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, I start thinking about, what about David and all that? So I go back and start reading 1 Samuel. And it just starts feeding my spirit. And you just see David's integrity and his character and everything. It's just like, ah, next thing I know, I've read 25 chapters in 1 Samuel. But as you develop your spirit or feeding your spirit gets so in tune or you get so in tune with your heart of what you're craving in that moment. And then when somebody jumps out to you, a person jumps out to you, you can go, hey, man, how's it going? And your heart's like, rah. But you don't have to push it. You just start baiting. Hey, man, everything going good? Your job going good? Yeah, it's going good. How's that work? Yeah, work's going good. Everything good. How's home? What's going on? They just keep talking. And all of a sudden, they say something, and it triggers something in you. You're like, ah, that's it. Let me ask you a question. I know I'm kind of carrying on, but I'll hush after this. Do you think if the Creator of the heavens and the earth said something, you would know it? I think so. There's an amazing video. It's just pretty amazing. It's a side story. You know who Steve Harvey is? He's hilarious. And so I like him. He's funny. I really enjoy him. But he has a thing where he goes, if I had the honor of introducing Jesus to people, he does this whole introduction. It's amazing. It's awesome. I don't know why I was saying that. I got sidetracked and forgot what I was saying because I got kind of enamored with Steve Harvey. But you know, the thing of it is when you feed your spirit and learn to feed your spirit and cultivate feeding your spirit to people, you'll know those nuances of when to say, oh, that's what I was going to say. If God was going to say something to somebody, you don't have to announce it. You know, people are like, well, the Lord told me this about you. You know, if it's really the Lord, you don't even need to tell them that. You know how many times I've just been talking to somebody, just talking, and then for 45 seconds, I don't even know what I'm saying. I don't even know what I'm talking about. It's just I'm inspired all of a sudden. Blah, 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 just saying stuff. You ask me to repeat it, I'm like, well, maybe I could get back there, but I don't even know. But the thing of it is that it doesn't matter if I think it's God. It matters if you think it's God. And if I say something and you're like, man, that was the Holy Ghost, then you don't have to ask Pastor Lonnie. You got it in you. Man, your heart bears witness with that. Man, there's something good about that. And then I can come into agreement. Yeah, there's something really good there. Like when we were at Starbucks with Miss Sarah, you know, and we said that scripture, you know, I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Man, there was life on it. And that's how you guys feel that. And they're like, yeah, we feel that. So they felt it. I felt it. The Holy Ghost quickened it. And then we were fellowshipping. I didn't have to call and ask her every 20. Is that scripture? Was that God? You think that was God? No, she knew it in here. So then she was able to feed on it and was able to do something in her. Now, sometimes you'll get something, you'll start talking to somebody and it's totally inspired and everything. And then they just start, you know, talking about pizza. And they just don't receive it. You know, but it's not your job to receive it for them. It's your job to get it out there. So I'd really encourage you, if you hear something from God and you talked about somebody and you have something for them, you can say it in a package that just sounds like an idea. Yeah, but then they won't know how spiritual I am. They won't know how I'm such an intercessor or such a prayer that I heard this. And, you know, people need to know. But when you get yourself out of the picture and you think, man, I really want to help people. And hopefully this small little seemingly insignificant little piece of a phrase, maybe it can help them. And then if I say it and it's highlighted and they recognize it's highlighted and they got it, then we'll go on, do our thing, and they'll know the Lord loves them. And I know I appreciate him using me, but I appreciate them getting it. But more than that, I appreciate him being good to get to them. Amen. And so went way farther, longer than I should have, but that's okay. And so we'll go ahead and pray real quickly here. And then I don't know if we even have the confession up there. We might have. Father, we thank you so much for this time of fellowship around the word. We thank you so much for helping and keeping us and sustaining us in the midst of all of our difficulties, in the midst of all of our trials, in the midst of all of our pains. We thank you for the Holy Ghost, that he comes up on the inside and he trains, he develops, he causes us to know and to see exactly which way we're supposed to go and exactly how we're supposed to be. We thank you for him and utterance and unction and clarity and insight into the mystery of your will, that you can cause us to make adjustments and cause actions to be different. Hallelujah. We thank you for your help and assistance and aid and all of these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Let's pray this prayer. And so, and this I pray, that my love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that I may approve the things that are excellent, that I may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen. God bless you. We love you. We appreciate you. Thanks for your patience today.